Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, we want to face the issues. May I suggest to you, if you're listening today, you have the privilege and the opportunity to call in, join in this broadcast, question and answer, face the issue scenario today. You can call us at 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. Join in the discussion. We want to face the issues based on the authority of the Word of God. In a moment, we'll be looking at Isaiah chapter 1, 31 verses, by the way, in that chapter. We'll be looking at an overview of several of the verses to discuss some of the issues that I believe are pertinent, prevalent, and ought to be of priority interest of each listener today. Again, you can join in this discussion and dialogue on facing the issues by calling 401-1413. And today, may I remind you, we have a free book offer that is F-R-E-E, no cost to you. We'll provide the book. We'll pay the shipping and postage. The title of the book is A Nation on Trial. A Nation on Trial. It is a verse-by-verse exegetical study of Isaiah, the first chapter. And you'll see in a moment in this broadcast why it is so urgently important for you to read and have this book in your repertoire of theological, biblical study books that will be a blessing and a benefit to you in your Bible studies, and for you standing to defend the truth of the Word of God. You can call us at 401-1413. When you call in and ask your question today, please leave your contact information and mailing information with our screener that he can transmit that to me, and we can package and ship your book. It is A Nation on Trial, subtitle America Stands Before God. And as we face that issue today, may I remind us that we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus said, thy word is truth. So ladies and gentlemen, we want to face the issues. We want to do so with the authority of the Scripture, not philosophical, ideological rhetoric, and not some goosebump theology, or cotton candy theology, or kitchen theology, but simply doctrinal biblical truth as to what the Scripture says. And before we get into the subject of our broadcast today, may I briefly take a moment and once again invite you, our listening audience, to join with us any Sunday for worship services at First Conservative Baptist Church. We, without apology, stand on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Without apology, we stick to the wonderful, wonderful old gospel singing of yesteryear and today and tomorrow without any apology. God-honoring singing, not your rock and roll singing. If that offends you, then I'm sorry, I don't mean to. But biblical preaching, that is expository, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Sunday mornings, I'm preaching through the book of the Revelation. Sunday evenings, I'm preaching through the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. I've gone through each of those books entirely, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, many, many times down through the past 50-plus years. We have had the privilege from the pulpit to preach through all of the minor prophets, with the exception of two that are coming up. We've had the privilege of preaching through many of the epistles in the New Testament, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. It's only by the study of God's Word, verse by verse and chapter by chapter, that we as believers can grow in the Scripture, retain the Scripture, defend the Scripture, defend the faith once delivered to the saints. So the invitation is open. Sunday morning at 9:30 is the Bible study hour, Sunday school hour, some call it. At 10:45 is the morning worship service. At 7 p.m. on Sunday evening is the evening worship service. Yes, we still have evening worship services. I realize most modern churches have dispensed with going to church twice on Sunday. It's almost unheard of in society today, but we still have Sunday evening worship services at 7 o'clock, midweek services at 7 o'clock on Wednesday for the Bible study hour and for the time of prayer and for singing and for a fellowship meal. So any of those times during the course of the week, three major events during the week, and our church, First Conservative Baptist Church, is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Be delighted to have you as our special listening audience guest in our services. And I am thankful that you're listening. I pray that you will call in today. Avail yourself to the free book, including postage and shipping, A Nation on Trial. It is where the nation of Judah stands before God on trial for rebellion and refusal to obey God and the rejection of God's Word. Let me introduce that thought by giving some current events that tied in inextricably with what God is saying in Isaiah chapter 1. It seems as though, and perhaps you have recognized that, and you may not have. If you've not recognized it, you're living in a secluded area someplace. But it seems as though the whole world is in the state of chaos, upheaval, confusion. We can find war on every hand, as recorded in Matthew 24, where God says it'll happen in the last days. War in Syria, war in Iraq, war in Turkey, Afghanistan, and at many, many other places around the globe. We have Islamic terrorist attacks on every hand. Hundreds and hundreds of Islamic terrorist attacks on a global basis every year, slaughtering thousands around the globe. Even here in America, we have that. France has now become an Islamic state. Germany now recognizes the result of over 1 million illegal refugees crossing their borders and coming into Germany. Just this week, Angela Merkel of Germany says that she now regrets allowing this to happen to Germany. May I remind us, London, England is an Islamic city today. In fact, they recently had a survey of the residents, some citizens of London, and there were some 25 or 30% that said they'd rather have Sharia law than English law. Sharia law is talking about the Quran. It is talking about Islamic law. And may I suggest to you that based on the authority of history past, anytime a Islamic group comes into a city or state or nation, they reach 3 to 5%, they will rise up, stand up, and demand recognition, demand laws and regulations to favor them. And we're finding that in every place that Islam touches. So what I'm saying is the Bible warns us of what will happen when a city, a state, or a nation rejects God, rejects God's law, refuses to obey God's word, and rebels against God. That's what we see happening, by the way, in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 31. The text deals with the nation of Judah rejecting God, rebelling against God, refusing to hear God. And then as you find in the context of Isaiah chapter 1, the trial is taking place. God is the Supreme Court justice. God is the jury. God is the prosecutor. And we, the recipients of the text of Isaiah, we can become the onlookers sitting out in the courtroom as God has the trial. May I remind us, as we look at what is happening in America, I want you to understand what's taking place based on the authority of what happened in Isaiah's day. In verse 1 of chapter 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now, time won't allow on a radio broadcast as brief as ours to tell you about each of these kings, but may I simply suggest that as we look at who they were, what they did, how they led, it sounds so much like the leadership that we have in our nation today. We'll have a good leader, and then an awful leader, and then a horrible leader, one that's godly, one that is ungodly. May I remind us the historical, political, and spiritual leaders of a nation will set the pace for what the nation does in respect to recognition of God or the rejection of God. It is without question. There is no way to question or to deny the fact that our national leaders have set the stage for our disobedience as a nation to holy God. May I remind us that we see in the text in Isaiah chapter 1, and by the way, let me remind you, you can call us at 401-1413. We're just simply doing a biblical analysis and overview of the chapter to give application and recognition of where we are in America today. You might say, well, America's not in Judah. No, it's not. You might say, well, we don't live in that era. No, we don't. But we're replicating, we're repeating all that Judah did that brought God's judgment. And by the way, God pronounced judgment on Judah in this first chapter of the book of Isaiah. In the midst of the trial, God gave them an opportunity to repent, and he would not go forward with the judgment. They refused to repent. They refused to recant. And as a result of that, God pronounced his judgment of doom, although it was about 100 years later before doom fell, destruction fell. Judah was taken into captivity as a result of it. In fact, in verses 2 through 4, the basic charges that God lays out for our edification against the nation of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They have gone away backward. May I remind us, he talks about the national rebellion. He says, hear, O heavens and earth, O and O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nursed and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. We can consider and ponder what's being said here, and it sounds resoundingly like America today. This charge can be applied to the condition of our nation. Notice the charge there, the basic charge. And they have rebelled against me. In essence, God is saying, I've blessed you. I've nourished you. I've fed you. I have brought you up. I have protected you from a mere baby. I've birthed you as a nation. I've nourished you as a nation. I've fed you as a nation. I've provided for you as a nation. May I say, listen to what God has to say about laying the charges before them. God says, I'm the one who birthed you as a nation. I'm the one who has provided for you as a nation, and yet you have rebelled against me as a nation. May I remind us, God provided for the nation of America. God has blessed America as no other nation on the face of God's green earth. God has blessed America as no other nation in the history of the world. Nationally, we have rebelled against God. What does it mean to rebel? It means to stand against. It means to fight against. It means to defy. It means to challenge. It means to disobey. When we analyze the charges against Judah, the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental, basic charge that God confronts Judah with is disobedience to God. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you're hearing what I'm saying. There's not a human being with any sense of intelligence that can say that America has not rebelled against God. We've banned the Bible in the classroom. We've banned prayer in the public arena. We have decided that we can murder babies in the womb. Some 55 million human beings have been murdered in the mother's womb. We have allowed abortion to go rampant, and we call it a right, R-I-T-E. We call it a constitutional right. And ladies and gentlemen, you may be saved. You may be a Christian. I pray that you are. It's an impossibility for a Christian to believe that abortion is right. The laws of the land might say so, but God's law takes precedence over man's law. God's law says it's murder. Man's law says it's a constitutional right. Man's law says it's okay to have a sodomite wedding. God's law says it is a stench in the nostrils of God. God's law says it's an abomination. God's law says that he's turned them over to a reprobate mind, those that participate in that. God's law says that we are a nation under the government that God has set up. We have a constitution, and in that constitution, it recognizes and gives adherence to Holy God. And yet as a nation, through our national leadership, yes, I'm going to call the name, through the leadership of Barack Hussein Obama, we have plummeted to the lowest level in the history of the United States of America, morally, ethically, biblically, theologically, doctrinally, socially, and every other form that you can name. Plummeted to the lowest. May I remind us, God is charging Judah in this text with disobedience to God, rebellion. But not only is he charging them with rebellion, he's charging them with no recognition of God. In that third verse, but Israel doth not know. My people did not consider. Listen to what God is saying. No longer do we recognize or consider God from the White House or from the state houses or from many houses across America. America does not even recognize God as creator and controller. Evolution is what's recognized today in all of the prestigious so-called bastions of higher education. And ladies and gentlemen, may I say, as a parent and as a grandparent, I'd rather have a child that grows up to be an absolute dummy. Listen to what I'm saying. To be an absolute dummy, not to be able to read, write, or spell, or do any mathematical calculations, than to go to a university or college where some ignoramus, God-hating, God-denying, agnostic professor will stand and curse God, or will take the United States flag, as one professor did just on the news yesterday. Take the United States flag and put it on the floor and stomp it, and ask if any student has a match, he would light it aflame. May I remind us, we're in a society where rebellion and rejection of God is the prima facie evidence of what we have as the end result today, with the anarchy and the garbage that's taking place, for example, in Charlotte, North Carolina, with the Black Lives Matter goons, you heard me right, goons parading the street, imported in to destroy law and order and to take lives. And they use it as a pretense so they can come in and pillage and rob and murder and harm and go against the rule of law. It's simply anarchy that's taking place. But the fact that we have, in fact, taken a stand with no recognition of God is found in our textbooks, where evolution has become a religion. And you can't talk about Jesus in a classroom, but you can talk about Allah and Islam. You can't talk about Jesus in a classroom, but you can talk about evolution and how we supposedly evolved from a blob someplace in the sea. I don't know about you, but I was created in the image of God. My Bible says that we all, as human beings, are created in the image of God. God has his impress stamped on the hearts and the souls of every human being. Today, it seems there's no recognition of God, no consideration of God. Through our elected officials, we make and enforce laws without considering God or considering what God would have us to do. Our culture is saturated with drugs and drinking and dissipated morals, sexual perversion, abortion, loose, lax, lost living on every hand with no recognition of God. There's not only no recognition of God and there's total rebellion, but when God's speaking to Judah in the first chapter of Isaiah, he says there are no restraints. The folks in Judah had no restraints. In the fourth verse, he says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Literally, God says to Judah, and may I say in application, he's saying to America today, ah, sinful nation, a people that's laden with iniquity. What does it mean, iniquity? The word for iniquity is the same word for twisted, perverted sin. It means twisted perversion. The root word for iniquity means lawlessness. The phrase here, a seed of evildoers, literally means it continues to grow and spread through our children, their children, that are born corruptors, thus literally promoting a process of continual rot and continual corruption. One rots the other, one corrupts the other, and everyone doing what he wants to do, and everyone doing what is right in his own eyes. May I remind us, when we disobey God with no recognition of God, when we reject God and no recognition and respect for God, we keep on living, and life just seems to be the same yesterday, today, and from tomorrow. It seems as though there's a mindset today in America that God's asleep, God's on vacation, or God's dead. May I remind us, we're talking about Isaiah chapter 1. The book, A Nation on Trial, is a verse-by-verse exegetical commentary on that chapter, 31 verses. It's yours free by the calling, 401-1413. Call and leave your name, address, and contact information with our screener that we can send you this book, A Nation on Trial, subtitle, A Nation or America Stands Before God. Not only we see national rebellion God is charging Judah with, and may I say charging America with, but also no recognition and no restraints. But fourthly, he charges us with no relationship. Verse 4 in Isaiah chapter 1 says, they have found the Lord, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. May I remind us that according to the Barna report, some 91% of Americans claim to be religious. 91% claim to have some relationship with some church or religious institution. Only 21% actually attend church on a regular basis. 21%. Now, it doesn't take a mathematical genius to understand that if you've got 91% of the people saying they're saved and only 21% of them attending church on a regular basis, may I suggest even out of that, probably about 10% tithe, giving your time, talent, treasure, and testimony to the Lord. Old Testament, when God says the tithe is mine, saith the Lord, he's not talking about just dollars. He's talking about our time, our talent, our treasure, our testimony is to be surrendered with open hand and open heart. As the old song says, take my life and let it be only always used for thee, ought to be the mantra of every child of God. It's obvious that God has been provoked in this text. According to what the scripture says here, he says, you've forsaken the Lord. How often we need to be reminded of the grave, 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 serious, urgent need to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Listen, you can stay in the parking lot at McDonald's until Jesus comes and it won't make you a hamburger. You can stay on the parking lot of the Burger King and it won't make you a Whopper. But may I remind you that you can say, I love God and I respect God all you want to, but it doesn't make you saved. A person gets saved by recognizing I'm lost and on my way to a devil's hell. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save my wretched soul. Help me to live for you because you died for me. May I remind us, the nation of Judah had no relationship with God. The philosophy and the attitude was, we're going to do our own thing, go our own way. We're not going to have anything to do with God. God's blessed us. God's provided for us, but we don't have any obligation to have any respect or relationship. We just rebel against God. No restraints. Do as we please. May I remind us, it's obvious that God has been provoked to anger with Israel. God is angry. The word angry or anger comes from the basic word thumos in the Greek text, meaning white hot anger. If you put it into young blood vernacular, we could say God is also bent out of shape with our nation today because we have abandoned God. We've gone our own way. We've done our own thing. And on and on and on it goes in this text. The basic text, the basic charges have been laid out in the first four verses. And then in verse 4 through the following verses, it gives the broader charges against the nation of Judah and what Judah has done and what God is going to do. He points out there's no moral awfulness among them. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, and they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. May I remind us, this is descriptive, God saying, why should I punish you anymore? You just seem to get worse and worse. You just seem to refuse correction on any basis. Ladies and gentlemen, may I tell us, may I say to us, may I be the watchman on the wall warning us as a nation that we're on the very high side of the mountainside with 2 feet on a banana peel, about to slide over into the abyss as a nation, lest we turn back to God, recognize that God is the only answer. May I remind us in closing today, in the year was 1787, and Edward Gibbons penned the words to the now famous book called The Decline of the Roman and the Fall of the Roman Empire. In Gibbons' work, Edward Gibbons, in his research leading to his book, he studied the Roman Empire, researched how the nation could become so grand and yet seemingly so easily and so simply collapsed. Just how could this happen to a nation? Could Gibbons' findings apply to America? Gibbons' five reasons for the collapse of the Roman Empire are as follows. Let me give them to you briefly. First, the rapid increase of divorce with the undermining of the sanctity of the home, which is the basic of society. Secondly, higher and higher taxes, the spending of money for bread and for celebrations and for sporting events, etc. Third, Gibbon said, the mad craze for pleasure and sports becoming year after year more exciting, more brutal, and greater in the demand of the people. Fourth, Gibbon said, the cause of the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire, may I suggest, applies to America. The building of gigantic armaments, when the real enemy is within, the decadence of the people, he said, is the cause. And fifth, he says, the cause, listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen, Edward Gibbon said, the cause of the fall of the Roman Empire. Number five, the decay of religion, faith fading in the mere form, losing touch with life, becoming impotent to have any guidance at all. May I remind us, Proverbs 14:34 says, in the scripture, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the warnings of God in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God called the Bible. And you can go to that text at your leisure and study all 31 verses in Isaiah chapter 1. Wonderful text to study. A text to give you insight and wisdom from God. And a warning to every person that reads it about what God said about the nation of Judah and the warnings that God gave the nation of Judah, because as Judah had done, so also is America doing today. America has no recognition of God, no restraints, no relationship with God, national rebellion, and no returning to God. May I warn us as the watchman on the wall, look up, lift up, for our redemption draweth nigh, according to Luke 21:28. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in today. Pray that the broadcast has been inspiring, challenging, and a blessing, as well as informational for you. Tune in tomorrow at the same time when once again we face the issues.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast? 666. And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.